Hello, and welcome to It's a Musical Wedding Podcast, the podcast show where my fiancé and I talk about how we're planning our wedding and how we know absolutely nothing about wedding planning.
I am the fiancé.
And I'm the fiancé too.
Yes, you are my beautiful fiancé. We have our Prosecco this month. Didn't fancy using up the champagne.
Nope.
We are drinking Canti Prosecco.
Yes, indeed. Every month. We are going to have a lovely glass of Prosecco with our recording of this episode. And we're literally just using up the Prosecco that we were given at our engagement party.
Yes, absolutely.
Tons of fun.
And we have some exciting things to talk about. Mm-hmm. Not much in the way of updates, necessarily.
No.
More just what have we done since getting engaged in that month since we last recorded.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about movie that we watched. We're going to be talking about going to our first venue viewing and also what we're kind of looking for in a venue.
First of many.
Yeah. And also talking about the wonderful Something New by Lucy Nisley, a book that I forced Danny to read.
Well, it's just like our usual podcast, It's a Musical, where you force me to
watch
musicals that I should have seen by now. You're forcing me to read the books I should have read by now. Am I right in thinking that this is a book you have read many a time before?
Yes.
And I remember vividly that as soon as we got back from Cornwall, the first thing you did was get this book off the bookshelf and you started reading it.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Lucy Nisley's books that keeps you going back to them? Because this isn't the only Lucy Nisley book you have.
No, and I have a couple on my wish list, but I do own a lot of her books. So I have this one, Something New. I also have her book, French Milk, which was about the extended holiday she took with her mother to France, and she lived there and worked there because she's an artist. I also have her book, Relish, which is my life in the kitchen.
And was that the one that she released before Something New, that she did the book tour for, that she talks about early on in Something New?
Yes, I believe so. And then I also have her book, Stepping Stones, which is a graphic novel based loosely on her childhood, but about being the child of divorced parents who is forced to move to the countryside with her mother and her mother's new partner. And then also her book, Kid Gloves, which is the one that directly follows Something New, which is about her journey to having a baby.
Yes. So what is Something New about and why are we talking about it?
So Something New is a comic book telling of how Lucy Nisley and her partner John planned and created their wedding from before they ever got engaged all the way up to like the day after they were married.
Yeah.
And it covers everything, how they planned everything, a bit of backstory about their romance,
yes,
like as they're courting, and how they ended up getting married.
Yeah, and I thought it was an absolutely fantastic read, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot nowadays. I love reading. It is one of my greatest passions. However, because of podcasting, I don't always have the time to read the same way I want to.
Yeah.
In between the schedule of work, of watching musicals and recording and editing, and then having some downtime to watch movies with you or sometimes play the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the same downtime that I used to have. And unfortunately for me, one of the things that's kind of gone by the wayside that I need to do better at more of is reading.
Mm-hmm.
I loved having an excuse to sit down and read this book. I thought it was fantastic. And it amazed me at how much I can see the early formation of our wedding and how similar it is to her wedding with John.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons why I love this is because she covers a couple of the same issues that I brought up when we got engaged, which is my feelings on weddings in general, my feelings on the gender expectations of weddings, and also the what it is to be a bride ideas, and the difference that happens between when I announce that I'm engaged as a female presenting person to where you announce that you're engaged.
Yeah. So out of curiosity, whilst we're kind of on that subject, since our last episode,
mm-hmm.
we've returned to work.
Yeah.
How many people have asked you about it or organically noticed your ring?
Organically noticed. So actually, they probably merge in together. So we're both teachers. The first day back at work is there's no kids and it's all staff and we all train all day and then we all sit down to have lunch together.
Yes.
As like a whole group of staff. It's like 100 of us in a room all eating lunch. And one of our friends came over and said congratulations to us. However, the people that we were sat with who work in my department did not know that I was engaged at this point.
Yes.
Two of them did. They weren't actually there while this happened though. And he came over and said, congratulations, are you excited? What's going on? Like, tell me everything, the whole story. And the group of ladies who I was sat with were all like, wait, what's he saying congratulations for? What's happened? So then I had to explain that we were engaged and the whole backstory. And weirdly, the first thing that everybody asks is, did he get down on one knee?
Which we covered last week as well.
Yeah, everybody says it.
Yeah.
Last month.
Yeah. I don't know why it keeps coming up. Hopefully over this podcast, we will learn why that question keeps cropping up.
But yeah. If you are somebody who's listening to this and you are engaged, tell us, did everybody ask you that? Because maybe it's just a you thing. Maybe nobody thinks that you would get down on
possibly.
One knee.
They're just thinking that I'm too lazy to.
Yeah.
I'm such a romantic. Mm. I think people would be surprised if I didn't get down on one knee.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so after that first day, I had a lot of people coming to me congratulating me. If they'd seen
intro.
Updates, you know, on social media,
yeah,
people would have commented. However, since that, the only way people have brought it up is if I've mentioned it.
Yes.
Which I don't go around announcing. I don't necessarily think it's the most appropriate thing to do. I know we're talking about it here on a podcast, but I don't go around going, I got engaged. If people ask, did you do anything exciting over your summer? I've told them. But if it doesn't crop up or doesn't seem to come up organically, I've not mentioned it. So I don't feel like I've had a big significant change to my identity.
Yes.
How about you?
Well, so the difference is I suddenly get a lot more attention than I'm used to.
Yeah.
I'm not an attention person, really. I know we run a podcast, but like, I'm not showing my face and it's fun. But yeah, I suddenly get a lot more attention, specifically from other female members of staff who I would not normally discuss my personal life with.
Yeah.
But because I have an outward symbol that says this person is engaged, it's there.
Yeah.
I also get a lot of questions about whether or not I'm going to change my name. Because
yeah.
this is something you also don't have to deal with. Is that your name will still be Mr. insert surname here.
Yeah.
And I, if I decide to, will become Mrs. insert surname, surname here.
Yeah.
The issue is we have the same initials if we have the same surname, and that doesn't work at all.
And I guess
job.
You'd be keeping your professional name anyway because
yeah, we work in the same place.
Yeah. But you've certainly had more people notice it. There are people that notice it.
I've had students notice it.
Yeah.
And be like, are you engaged? I'm like, yeah, I am. And they're like, you weren't engaged last year. And I'm like, no, I wasn't engaged last year. Very observant.
So that is something I think is a big deal with Lucy and Isaac's book, is the coming to terms with this identity.
Mm-hmm.
I think for us, we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We've been in lockdown together. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I really liked straight away is the kind of like prologue talking about her relationship with her husband.
Yes.
The fact that they were together but had split up because he didn't
they had
see
different
them having
features.
Children.
Yeah.
And they'd split up, gone about separate lives. They would date, but they'd come back and have holidays together and essentially never got over each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of deciding to start dating again, it went straight into the engagement.
Yeah, she says in the book that between the two of them, it felt wrong because they dated for such a long time before they split up to go back to being two people who were dating, And actually, if they hadn't been split up for that year or 2 years, I can't remember, then they by this point would be engaged. Yeah. And for John, her husband, marriage was a big deal to him than children.
Yeah.
And vice versa for Lucy Knisley. So when they talked about getting back together, but they go straight to being engaged, that was a big jump for them. But yeah. There's a great part in her story where she talks about how she didn't put the ring on when he proposed because they needed to think about it. So she put it on the TV antenna.
Yeah.
And then in the night got up and went and tried it on. And then took it back off, put it back on the antenna, went back to bed. And she did that 3 more times before eventually she just left it on and went back to bed. Which I think is a really cute story.
I think so. And I have to say, it's one of the things I really like about this book. And whether you are listening to this because, like us, you are affianced.
Mm-hmm.
Or just you're listening to us because you like our voices.
Yeah.
I think this is a tremendous book to read because it comes across so personal. Like, this is autobiographical. And because it is a graphic novel comic, it's so easy and accessible. But it is just... The bearing your soul like this is tremendously brave, I think.
And hey, who knows? Maybe in 5 years when we do It's a Baby musical podcast, we can read Kid Gloves. But
it's a musical baby.
It's even more so in her next book. Like, yeah. She really just does tell everything, which is hugely helpful because a lot of people and a lot of wedding websites are very secretive about their sources for things.
Yes.
Which I find tremendously irritating.
Yeah, whereas this, it's very honest and this is what I did and you've got like the photographic evidence that shows it, but also obviously the very deeply personal. All
her beautiful illustrations and her story.
So it covers everything from purchasing the wedding dress.
Yep.
Looks at catering, looks at venues, it looks at wedding gifts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think I want to talk about that for me it really stuck with is the whole idea of the photography.
Yeah.
Because Lucy Knisley is a self-confessed foodie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Well, her mother is a professional caterer.
Yeah.
Who then started her own farm.
Yes.
And her father would... I can't remember how she described it. She described it really nicely. Yeah. Like she describes her parents as being Demeter and Zeus, the Greek gods.
Yeah.
So Zeus goes to high-class restaurants and is always served. He prefers not to cook for himself, but he knows where to get the best food from. And as a child, he would try to impart his food wisdom onto her and disdained like McDonald's and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas her mother, Demeter, is the homegrown... nature loving, like, I created this food for you, parent, which is great. Yeah. That's such a cool word.
It is, but it was one of the things that I really stuck with me from reading the book is the fact that looking and thinking about the wedding photography, that these are photos that will stay with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the desire to look your best on this day. And there's that element of, do you have to lose weight or do you just be yourself?
Have you had any wedding adverts?
I have had them, yes. But I think that's because me on the iPad, I've been looking at wedding stuff on my iPad via Etsy, obviously for the wedding fair and more, and that coming at the end of this episode.
Because this is one of the things that Lucy Knisley talks about in her book, is that as soon as she changed their Facebook status to engaged to John... they started getting adverts, and the adverts that she was getting were wildly different to the ones that he was getting. But
a lot of them were surrounding the idea of get yourself a wedding.
Body image.
Yeah. And for me, that's something that I really resonated with, was the whole, the issue of, well, I just want to enjoy life. You know, this process is going to be even worse if I have to be dieting. But also, yeah, these are photos that we're going to display quite prominently. And I love our engagement photos, but there are some of them that I don't want to post because of that, because of my own issues with my own body image. I have been working very hard since the start of September, losing weight. I've not put in quite as much effort as I'd like to. I'm trying to get the diet sorted first, but I've lost 4 kilos, which for me is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a long way off the body I want. And I quite liked reading that bit where I think ultimately she decides that she's going to enjoy herself. If she fits into the wedding dress, great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more important for her that she's happy and going without food. Isn't? I thought that's a really positive message.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the memories are what's more important than the photos. And she talks about that to end the book as well, is all of the memories that stuck with her, these different parts of the day. That, you know, yeah, you look at photos, but the memories are what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really nice. Like you say, it sucks that as a bride, her experience of wedding adverts was, here's a diet pill, here's, you know, the perfect diet to get yourself wedding dress ready. That sucks.
Yeah.
It's more gendered nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And I too have had some of these adverts now. Yeah. And most of the time I just flag them, and because a lot of websites use now, you can say you're not interested in that advert. But the one that you can't do that on, or that I haven't been able to figure out, is Pinterest.
Yes.
And that's really stressful for me because I love Pinterest.
And it is basically forming all of our wedding planning.
Yeah, and it's great, and it's really nice for getting an idea, especially people who post their DIY wedding ideas, which is so nice because we are planning on having a very DIY wedding.
Yep.
But, gosh, I get a lot of gendered nonsense adverts on Pinterest.
Well, so that leads us on quite nicely to the fact that she is a very creative individual.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of her wedding planning was do it yourself.
Yeah.
And there's a really nice section where they talk about some of the different things that they did as a do it yourself.
Yes.
And they look at kind of the process of making it. So it's these really nice boxes, which we're thinking of doing for best men and
bridesmaids.
But also, you know, in terms of the tables and stuff and the decorations, there's a lot of DIY stuff. Have you found that page already?
Do you just know where it is? I literally opened to that page. I've got the book in front of me. So she has things like she made a photo booth backdrop by putting together wood strips, and she just nail gunned them into the right place and then made a little flag pennant. You know, those little strings that you hang the little flags on, and had that as the backdrop, which is fantastically clever.
Yep.
And is something I would be 100% able to do really easily because I have access through my work to a lot of these things.
She also made ties.
Yes, she did. And this is one of the ones that has quite a nice little joke to go with it of John, her partner, saying, we should have just
bought some ties
from H&M, and then you could have put the stripes on them if you wanted to. Because what they did is they made the ties and then put a distinctive stripe pattern onto it using a screen print, silk screen print. And John's whole thing is like, hey, we could have just bought the ties. And the reason why they didn't is because they agreed that they didn't have the right colours in H&M.
Yeah.
Which is cute.
There's also a really nice bit where she talks about the wedding veil, that she wasn't necessarily planning on a veil,
mm-hmm.
but then decided to make one herself.
Yeah, she wasn't planning on it for the specific reason that they charge between like $500 and $1,000, because she's in America, for wedding veils in shops, when you can go to your local Hobbycraft, buy like a meter of tulle and just do it yourself. Just hot glue it to a hairpin and just do it that way. I'm not planning on wearing a veil. I don't like them.
However,
I'm going to stick as many flowers in my hair as I can.
But at the end of the day, it's really nice that reading through that, it is that simple to me. I say that simple. But you know what I mean? That instead of spending hundreds on something that on the day you may decide no,
mm-hmm.
you could very possibly make yourself a veil as a backup without spending all that money for something you may never wear.
Yeah. She also made paper table runners. They put pencil jars on every single table.
Yeah.
Just glass jars that were saved from like pasta sauce and things. And put coloured pencils in them for everybody to use. They had little gold animals on the table. which are like plastic toy animals that were spray painted gold.
Yeah.
To just as decorations, which I think is super cute. I already have an idea because I am planning on making either our table runners or our centerpieces.
Yeah.
And I really like the idea of having little gold plastic animals in there. Well,
especially if we go with the theme that we're thinking of.
Yeah.
That could work quite nicely.
Yeah, we want a woodland-esque.
There's a musical related we both theme. Really like.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. We'll talk about that on a future episode.
And then things like guestbook boxes.
Yeah.
Which is super cute.
Which we've done a lot of since looking on Pinterest. We've developed Pinterest boards where we are looking at these nice little features.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked this section, especially of her book, because...
Me too. I look at this all the time.
Me not necessarily being... Obviously, I teach drama. I've directed, I've acted. But my creative skills aren't necessarily that way wired, you know?
Yeah.
So to look at that and, yes, for her it probably is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at that and be like, oh, hey, this could happen.
Well, she also then has a section where she talks about the complete failures that she had.
Exactly.
When working with them, which she says, here are the ones I'm willing to admit to. So she was going to have fabric table runners that got digitally printed with her design on them, which is amazing. However, they ended up being too short for the tables that they were using and the print didn't come out nicely. Yeah. So she gave up on those. She was going to hand press all of the program program book covers.
Yeah.
And that's a letterpress machine that she took a specific class to print them. However, as anybody who has used a letterpress and Lucy Nisley herself will admit to, you will never get to the same through letterpress. Yeah. You always end up with a mismatched bunch because it's just never going to work identically every single time. And then the other one that she talks about is games, essentially.
Yes.
So things like lawn games that people would play while they are at your wedding, whether that's the reception or the pre-wedding, just so that people have something to do when they're around. Now, at her wedding, it rained. So nobody used them. And also her plan was to have the pre-wedding day for her and her bridal party to all just sort of have a field day and play out and do all the things. But by the time they actually got there, they were too exhausted from wedding prep. So they ended up just hanging out by the lake and not doing anything.
Yeah, because she had her bachelorette 2 days before the wedding.
Yes.
I can't see myself wanting to be in a position to do my bachelor party the week of. I know that for some people that was a tradition where, like, you would do it the night before. No, thank you. I'm quite happy to say, like, a month or two before is when we do the bachelorette stuff.
Yeah.
Because then the week of the wedding, when it does need to be, like, all hands on deck...
I know that we're not in charge of this because obviously as the bride and groom,
however, we have to be available. And if we say to whoever's planning them, this is our availability, which great as teachers.
What would you want for it to be?
Let's pencil that for a future conversation.
Okay, sure.
So there's a lot of great things about Lucy Nisley's book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, especially that we are taking away from this book as to what we want to do with our wedding.
And that we really resonated with. I did try to convince my mum to build a barn in her back garden.
Yeah.
It's definitely not big enough
for
a barn.
I mean, we're going to get onto wedding venues in a moment, but barn wedding is something that is up there for us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot in her book that I was like, yeah, this is how I want our wedding to be, or I can see elements here that I'd like.
Yeah.
The final thing I really liked in her bit talking about her wedding experience, I'd like to talk about, I love the bit where she talked about her wedding dress.
So obviously, what, choosing it or the whole process?
The whole process of it. So she has a chapter dedicated to the wedding dress.
Yep.
And she talks about how it's one of the most miserable experiences, going into a shop for a wedding dress and hating everything she came out with because the people trying to sell her a wedding dress didn't seem to be listening to her.
What she wanted.
Yes, yeah. And just putting her in the wrong things. And that was an awkward experience because, you know, you're obviously going to a very, very expensive bit of fabric that if you break, you've bought it. And she then goes on to talk about how she found her wedding dress, which had pockets of all things. And I love that she ended up going and having it as a very quick appointment. It was like reduced. She had to go across.
It was in the sales section, and the guy who was running the store said that he couldn't help her try it on or fit her for it or anything because he had a booked in bride coming in to try on several dresses. And she was like, perfect. That's what I want. Don't talk to me while I'm there. Do not touch me.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think this is something that I really resonate with in this as well.
Yeah, that's why I thought I would talk about, because I think it's something that for you is going to have been a big part of, you know, reading this book, something you enjoyed reading but maybe struck a chord.
Yeah. And she opens this chapter by talking about how the most excruciating clothes shopping experience you ever had, imagine it. And she says, well, it was probably when you were in middle school. So for us English folks, that's like year 7 to year 9.
Yeah.
Shopping for back to school clothes with your parents and them choosing stuff for you that was just not within your wheelhouse of what you were comfortable in.
Yeah.
Which I completely feel and understand. Mm-hmm. I think everybody had that as a teenager. Was the things that you were comfortable in were not the things that your parents thought you looked good in.
Yeah.
And she says that that experience, the imagination and the feeling of that experience, is exactly her experience for wedding dress shopping. And I feel like that is going to be exactly the same for me.
Yeah.
I hate changing rooms. I hate trying on clothes.
Yeah.
Now that I know what my sizes are in every shop that I like to shop in, I'd never try on clothes in the store. And I know we don't do it so much nowadays anyway, but I had it down to an art before lockdowns ever happened, because being in a shop and trying on clothes when there are other people around is just horrible.
Yeah,
it's not a nice experience. I don't like it.
Yeah, and I think especially, so you've got to book yourself in for this appointment anyway. It's not you go off the high street with your group of two or three friends or whoever's going and have a good time. Like, you make a day of it. It's an event.
Yeah.
And it is terrifying. I know that we watch, when we go to visit my mum, we'll end up watching Say Yes to the Dress. They make it look a lot more fun than it might actually be. And I liked that this is quite an honest account of what it could be like.
Mm. Well, because one of the things she talks about is, first of all, how stupid expensive wedding dresses are.
Yep.
And how the whole endeavour of going to a place, having to be there at a very specific time, having to have some person you don't know dress you.
Yeah.
And then knowing that you just kind of hate it is great, and I love it. But she does go on to talk about
Dress Safari.
Dress Safari.
Which I love the idea of, and I think the next time Laurie comes down, you and Laurie should do some Dress Safari.
Yep.
While the pressure's off a little bit.
Yeah. So they would walk into a wedding boutique with no appointment and ask to try on some dresses. And if the boutique agreed, they would try on the silliest and prettiest dresses that they could find. And it would really help to not be the only person that was trying on a dress. So she took her friend and bridesmaid with her and then got both dressed up, tried everything on, and that it's really nice to just see your best friend in a wedding dress as well.
Yeah.
Because then it feels like an inclusive experience.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, the one flaw with this book is it's very much, I say flaw, it's not a flaw, but the one thing for me is this doesn't necessarily help me as a makeshift groom.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to read a book like this on a groom's perspective, because I'd like to know if the suit shopping is of a similar
excruciating pain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not a flaw with this book. I you know, it's obviously her experience.
Mm-hmm.
I still resonated with a lot of these things, and it picked up a lot of my anxieties, but also a lot of my desires with the wedding planning stuff that we're going to go through.
Yeah.
But I would like to know, and very similar to anyone who's read this book or has planned a wedding, do grooms have the same thing when they're shopping for a suit? Because that is the thing I'm dreading most, is, again, the whole body image stuff. I've got ideas of suits I want.
And I like the colours that you really like.
But there's a fear for me that when we go to do the wedding suit shopping, mm-hmm. if I've not got to my target yet, I'm going to be buying with that body, but knowing full well that I'm still going to have time, hopefully, to get myself in shape. But then there's also the fear that I'll get myself in a shape I'm happy with, buy the suit, and then not fit in it.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest stress of all. Everything else, I feel, will fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to have this account here. Not like a Hollywood ending of the suit and the dress shopping being this perfect magical experience.
Yeah.
And not it being a comedic sequence like Bridesmaids, you know, where it goes badly, but not in a way that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that chapter was really, really awesome just to read about.
And she ends up talking about how she does buy a white wedding dress, and the one that she goes with, she feels, is like very Jane Austen heroine, which I agree. But that she didn't wear a white wedding dress because of the purity symbolism, but just because how often do you get a chance to wear a big white dress?
Yeah.
Now, I will not be wearing a white dress to our wedding. It's not something that I want to do or feel comfortable enough to do.
Yeah.
I am a messy person. I will get something on that dress.
Yeah.
Inevitably. And it's not worth the hassle of buying a stupid expensive dress for me to spill, I don't know, great soda on it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
But the other thing that shows up is a couple of the best advice that she got from people. And these were her favorite ones.
Yep.
So plan for the worst and you can expect the best, which is true. As long as everybody gets enough to eat, everybody will be happy.
Yep.
Do whatever it takes to take some time to slow down and eat. The day goes by so quickly. And if you don't take a minute to savor things, you will miss out. And take a breath when you're standing up at the ceremony, look out over the guests and drink in the love.
Yeah.
Which I think is key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyone who has not read a Lucy Nicely book, I would thoroughly recommend Something New, Tales of a Makeshift Bride.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're
going to force the rest of her books on you now.
Oh, it's not going to be forcing. I would love to read. It's like Starkage. You force the first ones on me, but I am very happy to watch them again and again and again. I think we're going to refer to this book a lot during the wedding planning process. Mm-hmm. It is a fantastic account. I mean, 5 stars from me. It's a book I will probably read again and again during this process.
And again afterwards. It's just such a good read. Well, like, it's not a specific planning your wedding book. Because I read this before we were engaged and before we ever met, actually.
Well, but then at the same way, I think starting to read this book and thinking about the documenting of your wedding,
mm-hmm.
that's why we started doing this spin-off is...
Yeah, it's definitely something that influenced us.
Yeah, so absolutely fantastic read. We love Lucy Nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And
I particularly love all of John's little interludes in the books.
It's definitely one worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a top-up?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
So,
moving on,
we had our very first wedding venue appointment today, day of recording. Yes.
And it was really nice.
Yeah, we were supposed to have one a week ago.
Yeah.
But between being very ill
and
the UK petrol shortage,
because
we had to travel quite a way for the one that was supposed to be last week, we thought probably best not to.
Yeah.
We've rescheduled it for Saturday coming.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, I think, at least one venue a week for the next month to look at. And we're not making any concrete decisions at this point.
No.
It's just seeing what's out there.
To see a bunch of different venues based around the vibe and the idea that we like. And then off of that, then start to make some choices and book to see maybe some of them again for a second time.
Yes.
But some of them that definitely fit the vibe that we want to go for.
Absolutely. And I know that your mum's also been very, very active with finding one as well and looking for one, because it is perhaps the most difficult choice that we're going to have to make
mm-hmm.
through this process, is finding the right place, because this is going to be like the rest of our life. This is going to be the place we got married in.
Yeah.
And the person we spoke to today was fantastic, but said that it's like buying a house mm-hmm. that you just know when you find the place you walk in, and you just know that this is the place that you want to get married in.
Yeah.
So we've been using a lot of different websites, but the one that we found quite a few on for us that's been really, really handy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if this site translates in the US or other territories, but certainly in the UK, is cocoweddingvenues.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
The search criteria is fantastic. It's really good at filtering out what we want. You can really
narrow it down. It's good.
And I think because we're quite set on the fact that we know how many guests we're going to have,
mm-hmm.
I think we know that it's 25... We know that it's 25 for the reception and about 60 for the night. So that's been a help. But then you can also decide on things that are important. So like features, what type of venue it is. So do we want, you know, a barn, which we search for quite regularly.
Mm-hmm. But you can search specific things. Like, I didn't know this before we started looking for a venue, but some places aren't child friendly.
Yeah.
Which I understand being pet friendly or not, because some of the places we looked at that have like barn venues are actually working farms. Yeah. So it's understandable that they're not pet friendly.
Which is a shame, because that's one that's quite important for us. At least for me.
Yeah, that one's more important to you than it is to me.
I want your mum's dog at the wedding.
I want a dog that we have to be at the wedding. I know, but we can't have a dog.
But that, I mean, this is it, is I want a dog at the wedding.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're looking at some places that pet friendly is a yes slash no. But, you know, in the same way that I didn't realise that not every venue legally allowed you to get married there.
Yes. And so the one that we went to see today, they actually, the lovely lady who was showing us around, who was so nice, by the way.
Yeah.
I was really paranoid about what this experience was going to be like. And I'll talk about that again in a minute. But one of the things that she mentioned was that the venue we saw today, you can get married there because they do civil ceremonies. But if you would prefer just to have the reception at the venue we looked at, you could get married. There was a registry office like in the town centre, yeah. like 10 minutes away. So you could go there first, get married legally, and then come and have a party separately.
Yeah. And it was actually really useful because she talked about the whole process of you need to get your license. Informing
your borough. And
yeah, that's yeah. weird. I had not thought about that or realised that that was a thing. And because we're possibly getting married outside of the borough we live in, we have to
mm-hmm.
notify our borough and ask them to notify the borough that we choose to get married in.
Yeah, and I have a friend who lives near where we live and is getting married quite a way away from where we currently live.
Yeah.
And she... I need to ask her about this, about whether she's done this or if this is a thing that she's aware of, because
yeah.
it's a bit crazy. I didn't realize there was so much government interest in when you get married. But I guess in hindsight, thinking about it, like, of course there is.
Yeah.
You suddenly have like twice the assets that you had before.
Yeah. But there's, you know, it's been really handy, and for us using this site, it's been quite good. We're learning about the terms. So for instance, no corkage.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you what that was, but pre-wedding planning.
Yeah, I still am a little bit iffy on it.
I think it's your ability to bring your own alcohol.
Possibly. But like other things like parking and Wi-Fi, you take those for granted nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite handy to have this. And, you know, you can look at the things that are hard yeses. We must have this for our wedding. If we don't, we're not interested. And then you can say, well, actually, this is okay. This isn't vital, so we can compromise on it.
Yeah.
So we went to this wedding venue today, and it was gorgeous.
It was so pretty.
Yeah.
And it was in the nicest green colour. Everything in this building was some kind of shade of green, and it just felt very natural.
Yeah.
Were you nervous going?
Very, very nervous.
We kind of didn't talk about this on the way there. We were just both like, yay, we're going to see a pretty house.
Let's felt like I was uncharacteristically quiet when she showed up.
You were, and I talked a lot.
Yeah.
More than usual. And she was very...
personable.
Very personable, but what I was going to say was... and maybe we'll find this more the more venues we go to, but she focused on me a lot
as
the bride. And I took pictures and stuff, and I was talking a lot more than you were, but I felt like it was I was talking a lot because she was addressing me.
Yeah.
And this is the first time this has really happened. Usually if we go out for dinner somewhere, the gendered nonsense of that is like, oh, here's the bill, man sitting at the table. Or perceived man sitting at the table.
Or looking to perceived man at the table to make the order for everyone.
I like that. I hate ordering food.
No, but and that's fine. That's a choice. But when it happens everywhere you go...
Yes, I agree. I know what you mean.
So I felt I was uncharacteristically quiet.
Yeah.
I've obviously had my say to you in turn. Here are places that I quite like the look of. Not necessarily which wanting...
I have booked some of them.
And it's not necessarily me committing to these places, but it's me saying, I like the vibe of this one. But I think as well, because I was cautious, is I didn't want to come across like I wasn't interested. It's like a first date. You're, you know, feeling the other person out.
Sure.
You don't want to come across too interested, because then if it doesn't work out, it's heartbreaking. But at the same time, you don't want to come across not interested, because if she got the vibe that we weren't into it, would we have got the full tour? And, you know, would it have been a rushed experience? Because would she have been able to tell that we're not interested?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it was great. You know, I think some of the things that we hadn't realised is just how much cost goes into a venue, that not everything comes as standard, that you have to pay for certain things, you know, and some things come within the price, some things don't. You know, for instance, with this venue, on depending on the day of the week, if it was a weekend, you got all 15 rooms in the hotel booked as part of your package.
Yes.
But if you booked on a weekday, you only got 7 of the 15 rooms.
But you could have 15, but you would have to pay a different amount.
But you'd also have to wait 6 months before...
to find out if you could stay there the night before.
Yeah, because, you know, of other weddings. And it's one of the questions I didn't ask today that I should have asked is, so if there was a wedding the day before, what time would they be expected to get out so that we could get in?
Yes, for dressing and things like that.
Yeah, because, again, this room didn't have any dressing rooms particularly,
mm-hmm.
which for me is I quite like a little dressing room. I don't want to be in a bedroom, especially because me and you will be sharing a bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Will we? I'm kidding.
But you know what I mean? Like, we will. Do you want to have to be forced into someone else's room to get changed in? Or you know what I mean? So it was weird that it didn't have dressing rooms. I thought like all wedding venues had that.
Yeah, but they don't, depending on where you are. Places like estate houses, from what I've seen doing my research, estate houses and hotels tend not to have dressing rooms, but they do have a lot of accommodation. Whereas the barn places we've looked at and the more rustic vibe, quote unquote rustic, like vibe wedding venues all have a dressing room because they don't have accommodation. Yeah.
Which makes sense because most of them are just an add-on to a working farm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find about the experience today? How did you find it? Because I think you would be the first person to admit that you don't always do well in the social situations like this. How did you find it?
Simultaneously stressful and quite fun.
Yeah.
Because I, going into it, was like, I'm going to be really upfront and tell this person who we're meeting that we are not looking to book this venue.
Which you did, yeah.
But not in a way that... We are just here to see it, get an idea, and look at other venues that are completely different to this one so that I can see a bunch of different kinds of things and know what I want to go for.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things that I said to the woman who was showing us
around.
And
it didn't come across in a way that was like, I'm not interested in getting married here. I like the look of this place. This is somewhere that's beautiful, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm looking for at the wedding venue yet.
Mm. And I tried to make that really clear so that when we were being shown around, we got all the information that we needed without any of the, oh, but you need to put down a deposit today, otherwise it'll be booked. Because yeah. That's fine. If it gets booked, we just find somewhere else. But yeah, I did a lot of talking and a lot of taking pictures of things that I liked and things that I didn't like, because I wanted to make sure that I had pictures of everything so I could remind myself why I maybe wouldn't want to get married there. One of the things I really loved about it was that it had an outdoor area, but yeah. The whole ceremony and reception would take place inside, but that there was also this outdoor, like, tented area that is just for your wedding to use. That to me, that's a great idea, because you've got all the indoor stuff. You want to be able to go indoors. We're probably looking at a more autumnal time of year to get married, so we need a lot of heat, basically. Yeah. And their outdoor area had heaters, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask them about.
And it was covered, like, it was a full year canopy, which I thought was great.
Yeah. But then when we arrived there, one of the things that I was looking at was how accessible it was, and did it have parking on site? And was that parking just for people staying there, or was it going to be for everyone? And then off of that, how accessible was the actual place? Because it's like this big old house that's been turned into a hotel. And from the inside, it was not accessible at all. If you had any kind of access needs,
yeah,
which some members of my family do, you would not have been able to get down 3 floors to the actual wedding.
Yeah.
And from the outside, you could. It was really good. They had a lift. And I was like, oh, that's really clever. Fantastic. But they said it closes during bad weather.
Yeah.
And we're looking to get married in autumn. So there's always a chance that there will be bad weather.
Yeah.
Which then makes my wedding inaccessible.
Yes.
So that was a big thing that I was making sure to note and to look at.
Yes. And whilst it was great that there was the lift option,
mm-hmm.
it also wasn't enough. The car parking, again, this is something that for me, I just assumed that every venue
yep.
would have really accessible parking.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. And the closest car park was about a 5-minute walk away. And again, family members who have accessibility concerns,
mm-hmm.
that's not something we want necessarily.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience because, you know, we felt, I think one of the things I was worried about going in was I felt I had to dress for the occasion. You know, I wouldn't necessarily wear the same Pokemon themed t-shirt that I would usually wear, you know, or something. I had to feel like I was in presentable clothing because
you looked very nice.
I know I did, but that's because I made an effort. And I was worried about the perception of, you know, is there going to be like an elitism?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there'll be some venues that we go to where maybe the biggest off-put yeah. is the way we're treated. But here, I couldn't praise the staff enough, and the woman showing us around was fantastic, was, you know, incredibly approachable,
mm-hmm.
you know, very, very much so. We ended up having more of a personal discussion than just actually about the venue.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really liked is because they had told us that they were getting married themselves.
Mm.
They'd actually told us that they weren't getting married at this venue, that they were getting married elsewhere. And for me, I thought that was a really awesome thing, is I wasn't seen as a customer. I was seen as a person.
Yes.
And that I felt was very, very important.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was really nice to just talk to a person who was talking to us like we were humans yeah. and not just a sales pitch.
Exactly. And I think that for me is, this is very much going to be the baseline for any venue we go from now.
This is a really nice place to start.
Yeah.
From.
Because more so than anything else, everything was beautiful, but also the way we were treated.
Mm-hmm.
It made a safe way for us to be able to get our questions out and feel like, hey, we've not been shot down, we've not been turned down. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. we're looking at a range
of the experience. Yeah, yeah.
We're looking at a range of different venues going forward that aren't necessarily all the same. Mm-hmm. So this one was more of a hotel.
Yeah, this was a hotel on a river.
Yeah. But we were going to be looking at barns. Mm-hmm. We're going to be looking at more rustic country houses.
Yep.
We might even be looking at a castle or two.
Yeah, we love a castle.
I mean, this is it. We could always go and get married mm-hmm. at Tregarna Castle, where we were staying for our engagement week. But I feel the problem with that is we are travelling way far away.
It's a really long way for people to travel, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that for us is a... The majority of the places we're looking at, with one exception, mm-hmm. are about half an hour from where we currently are.
Yes.
Which means my family have to travel. Mm-hmm. Which means that possibly getting accommodation on site is important.
Yep.
Which this place had, which was great. But that is another thing that's becoming a priority, is that we possibly need that as an option. Mm-hmm. The fact that Laurie will be coming from Scotland, like, yes, I'm sure she'll be staying with us in our flat for the week.
Yeah.
Or whatever, the month. But in the same way that she probably wouldn't want to come back to our flat with her partner
on our wedding night.
On our wedding night alone. Like, she'd probably want to stay at the hotel, so then the next day
we can all come back together. Yeah. Yeah.
So things like that are important. In the same way, grandparents, other family members and friends, bulk of our friends, bulk of people we look to be inviting are within the area we live. Is it fair to ask them to drive 2 hours to where my family are based? I mean, yes, it's our wedding, but I think you've got to be concerned other people are giving up their days, their time.
Yes.
But yeah, I enjoyed today, and it's made me feel less scared about wedding venue. Advice. We've had one moment of advice this week from Lucy Nisley.
Yep.
Our advice for this episode to do with wedding venue. Drew, if you had one golden question, what do you think is a most important question to ask at a wedding venue? For me, I think the best question we asked was actually about the sound system.
Mm.
I like that we then had a conversation about whether or not we could just plug in a laptop or a phone, we can hire a DJ, or we can hire a band. For
yes.
me, that was really nice to ask. And it's nice knowing those options. We were lucky today that we got to see it being set up for a wedding. That helped. But for me, asking that question was quite a big one, because you've obviously got three options.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice is don't be afraid to ask seemingly insignificant questions about, yes. you know, sound systems. Did you have anything?
I've already talked about the accessibility of the venue, but I think that is one of my key things, because you never know how people are going to be on the day of your wedding.
Yeah.
Especially if you have members of your family who have access needs, but also for yourself. If we book our wedding and a month before the wedding I break my leg.
Yes.
We're still getting married that day. But now I just need to know how I can get places.
Yeah.
Because it's important to keep in mind that the whole world can fall apart, as we know.
Yes.
And you still have to go and do stuff.
Yeah. So that is some wedding venue advice.
Yes.
I'm sure as that journey of ours progresses, we'll come up with more advice, and we might completely poo-poo something we've said today.
Yeah. Now to our third topic of the day.
Yes. We watched our, I say first, we've watched a few wedding movies, Mamma Mia. We've watched Walking on Sunshine.
Over on our True It's a Musical podcast.
Mainline series.
But yes, we watched our first wedding movie from my wedding movie list. That is not a musical.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also going to be other TV shows that I think, you know, TV weddings and TV moments I quite like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice to watch a film, because I have never seen My Best Friend's Wedding all the way through.
And you were missing out.
Yeah.
I love this film. I think it's hilarious.
It is a really good rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest issue I had with it was everyone except Cameron Diaz was so unlikable. But that's so awesome for a film.
How dare you? George is the best character.
Which one was George?
Her friend.
Oh, Rupert Everett.
Yes.
Yeah, he was great. But I mean, he's a cameo role, really.
He's not. He's one of the main characters.
He's not in it as much as everyone else. Like, you've got her, the fiancé, and Cameron Diaz,
mm-hmm.
you know? So the premise of this film, for anyone who has not seen it, is Julia Roberts finally decides after all these years she is ready to commit to a guy she's had some flirtations with, her best friend who at one point was madly in love with her, chasing her all the time, but she just wasn't interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls and she's thinking, do you know what, I think finally is the time I'm going to let him have me. Only to find out that he is engaged. And yeah. she spends the entire film trying to split them up, despite the fact that this woman he is marrying is so lovely.
She's so much nicer than anybody else right? that is in this film.
And it's such a, like, I really like the whole, you know, the aspect of, I've just met you and I already want you to be a bridesmaid, and how trusting. And the behind the scenes stuff, you know, you get like rehearsal dinners.
Mm-hmm. She says, I've never had a sister.
Yeah. But the thing I dislike about this film mm-hmm. is the fact that we're viewing this world through Julia Roberts.
Yes.
And because of the nature of these sorts of films.
Yeah.
I'd seen the ending. I knew that she wasn't getting married to him. I knew she wasn't winning his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'd never seen this film before, I would have been waiting the whole time for him to ditch Cameron Diaz and get with Julia Roberts.
Because that's what's supposed to happen, right? This
yeah.
movie with Julia Roberts as the lead character. She's our insert character.
But
we don't have to like our insert
yeah,
characters.
Yeah, and that's what I think is so interesting about this film is the fact that, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in her. And that you always want to see her fail. That each time she does something, there's a part of you that's trying to think, like, how will this one mess up?
Yeah, and it's great. And every time she tries to sabotage, something does mess it up.
Yeah.
And it's not till the end when... What's his name?
I actually don't know his name. The love interest, the best friend.
That's funny, isn't it? We just didn't catch his name.
Yeah, but again, I don't think he's important. He's a MacGuffin. Oh, God, please say his name is Mike.
I'm going to
Return of MacGuffin Mike.
His name is Mike.
Is it really?
It's Michael.
The Return of MacGuffin Mike.
He is MacGuffin Mike. Oh, my God.
Yes.
If you've listened to our Freaky Friday, the musical episode, you will know who MacGuffin Mike is. We love MacGuffin Mike. Excellent. The Return. Yeah, so we have Dermot Mulroney as Michael O'Neill, and then Julia Roberts as Julianne Porter, which is hilarious. But yeah, so it's not till the end when MacGuffin Mike finally makes it clear that he will not be getting with Julia Roberts, that she actually understands why everything she's done has gone wrong, and it's because they are genuinely in love.
Yeah. They absolutely are. It's, you know, the whole plot is that she comes from a wealthy background.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad owns something to do with sports.
I think it's a magazine.
Yeah, and because MacGuffin Mike 2 is a journalist, it's like, oh, they're just going to make you quit this job you love and work for them. And mm-hmm. she uses and exploits that fact so much to very nearly split them up.
Yeah.
I know that... Some people dislike Cameron Diaz.
As a person or in this film?
Generally. I know that best film ever.
Really?
Ian seems to be a big fan of Cameron Diaz. I need to
Cameron
ask
Diaz.
Why. Because I quite like Cameron Diaz.
Hmm.
And I need to ask the specifics on why. And obviously a podcast is not the platform for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask him privately. I think she comes across so nicely in this. And there's a very genuine, like, element to when she's breaking down. Like, I didn't do that. I would never do that to you. Like, she comes across really genuine and likable in this.
Yeah.
And this is very early in her career. It might be the first film she's done post-Mask.
Yeah.
She's great in this.
She's so young. But yeah, she is fantastic in this.
Yeah. I like Julia Roberts. She's not somebody who I necessarily... recognize the brilliance of her career, because
mm-hmm.
she has had a phenomenal career. And I forget sometimes that she exists, but she is. Like, when you watch these films, she does everything brilliantly because she's not your conventional leading lady when it comes to rom-coms, because she still has such, like, a strong personality.
Yes. And that's one of the things that, with this movie, makes you think that she will end up with him. Because they're both independent people and they're so career focused, and you think, yeah, they really do work well together, and his family already loves her and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're of the same sort of social class, whereas Cameron Diaz's family in this film are really wealthy.
Yeah.
I think her dad's a banker or something.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Is there a musical version of My Best Friend's Wedding? I could be completely making up. I swear I'd seen somewhere that it had been turned into a musical. And perhaps I'm just confusing it with Pretty Woman.
There is a musical of My Best Friend's Wedding. You know who did the music?
Who?
Burt Bacharach.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
And Hal David.
What yeah. the world needs now.
It was announced
yeah.
that they were going to make their premiere at the Theatre Royal in Plymouth on the 19th of September 2020
yep.
before touring the UK.
Oh.
However, the production was delayed by a year and it opened on the 20th of September 2021 and will be touring the UK in May.
Well, we will have to find some tickets for that, I'm sure.
That was fun.
Have a tie-in. It's a musical wedding podcast to mm-hmm. discuss My Best Friend's Wedding, the musical.
Yep. However, on the 30th of June 2021, it was announced that the production had been cancelled.
Aww.
I know.
So I guess not. Dash my dreams.
But it was supposed to feature I Say a Little Prayer for You.
Yeah.
Which is sung in the film.
That's a very good sequence.
I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, which is the song that Cameron Diaz sings at karaoke.
Yeah.
But also songs like I'll Never Fall in Love Again, which is one of my favourite songs, actually. Walk On By and What's New Pussycat.
I would like that. I think it'd be very similar to what School of Rock does, where we get a few moments from the film with the music of the film.
Actual songs, yeah.
And then everything brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, yes.
It's supposed to be Alexandra Burke playing Julie Roberts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed My Best Friend's Wedding. I don't know what the next wedding film we shall be watching is.
I don't know either. I do. Well, so I'm thinking either Father of the Bride.
Yep. I do like some Steve Martin.
We love Steve Martin. Or The Wedding Singer.
Cool.
Which is supposed to be good as well.
I do, well, there's a musical of that as well.
I know there is. And that's actually a really good musical. I love that one.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's much I took from the planning of that so much. Like, I didn't really look at it and think, oh, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was nice to watch stuff about weddings.
My favourite thing about it is that she does not end up with him. And that at the end, Rupert Everett shows up and he says to her, well, there may not be happily ever after and there may not be sex, but there will definitely be dancing.
Yeah.
And they dance. And that's great.
It is great.
Mm-hmm.
So we have exciting stuff on the horizon for episode 3 of It's a Musical Wedding.
Yeah.
So when this drops, we'll actually have been engaged 2 months.
Cool.
On October 13th.
Mm-hmm.
That weekend, we will be going to a wedding fair.
Yes. Not something either of us... Actually, that's not true.
I want to.
I've been to a wedding fair.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
We can talk about that then as well.
But it's something I've always wanted to do since watching Gavin and Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
I know that James Corden is not necessarily the most popular figure.
Yep.
However, Gavin and Stacey is such a great watch. We watched it last year.
Yeah, we watched it in lockdown.
And I don't think it was that problematic then. I'm sure some of it, you know, if we were to watch it again, hasn't aged as well.
There are definitely issues.
But one of the episodes in season one that has always stuck with me is they go off to a wedding fair. And ever since watching that, I've been desperate to go to one. So we actually are going to be going to a... wedding fair. We're going to be going to the National Wedding Show at the Excel in London on the 16th of October. I don't know specifically what we're going to do there yet. There is so much to do. I'm very, very excited to look at all the different vendors to get some ideas, even if we're not buying things, just to kind of talk and make some connections.
Yeah.
And get a vibe of what's out there. And our next episode will be solely focused on our experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking about how to plan your day, what are some good do's and what are some good don'ts for your shows. And if you do have any questions about that, you can obviously get them to us before we go and after we go, because we might be able to discuss them. So if you have any questions about the National Wedding Show, and how to go about planning your day at such an event, get in touch over on the socials. We might also talk a little bit more about another wedding film we watched.
Yeah.
And maybe some updates on wedding venues. But yes, episode 3 will be focusing on the National Wedding Show from the Excel Centre.
Yeah.
Which is a place we're familiar with because MCM Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very, very different. Instead of seeing people dressed up in cosplay, we're going to be seeing people in wedding dresses.
Yes, indeed. Are you going to be trying on a wedding dress?
Last time I went to the Excel Centre, I was in a dress.
That is true.
I went as Meg from Hercules.
And you looked fabulous.
Because you made an amazing Meg costume for me.
It was okay.
So as always, you can get involved in the conversation with us over on Twitter and Instagram at It's a Musical Pod. Get in touch with any questions. Is there anything that you want to know about the planning of our wedding and things you'd like us to find out for you? What are those questions that you've always been too scared to ask? You want to ask two of your favourite random podcasters on the internet to find out on your behalf?
Yeah.
Happy to do it. All in the name of love.
Sure.
And of course, you can find us where all good podcasts can be found. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We're on the Amazon Music app under the podcast sections of the library. You can find us on Stitcher and you can find us on Podbean. And if you like what we do, and if you have enjoyed this episode talking about wedding venues and Lucy Nysick's fantastic book, Something New, why not head over to Apple Podcasts or Podchaser.com and leave us a 5-star review. And then head over to Amazon and buy Lucy Nysick's book.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for joining us as we have polished off this glass of Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
We will see you next month for another Wedding Wednesday.
Yep.
Same bat place, same bat channel.
Have a magical day.